You don't have to wash your hands.
I have so much time to myself. Hey, walk away when I'm talking to you. My kids really respect my privacy. When this timer goes off, please turn it off and do not tell me. Thanks. Here, can you use up all my battery? Don't call me when you get there. I don't want to know where you are.
It is just too quiet in this car.
Okay, we're about to leave for church, so if you're going to make a huge mess, you better do it now.
I don't know. Your dad usually does everything around here. All of these people are such good drivers.
Eating dinner is completely optional. Hanging up your towel is completely optional. Flushing the toilet is completely optional. Okay, this time, can you smile more like a crazed lunatic? Hey, you want to dig through the fridge for the fifth time today? I'd definitely rather be here than at the beach. I am loving the look of these chips on the floor. I am loving the smell of your feet in my face. I am loving this back pain. Get a massage. Ew. No thanks. Take anything you want from my closet and don't worry about putting it back. Don't look at the camera. Look over there. If your sister takes your toy, just give her a good smack on the head. Hey, come drink that grape juice in here on the carpet. It's dinner time. Everybody come get a snack. Hey, did you know you can wear the same pair of underwear all week long?
Boy, I say smile like a crazy lunatic all the time. And it tells in our pictures sometimes. Let's stand this morning. Thank you for coming to Noble Assembly of God. Let's worship today. I saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover.
Christ. Let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. How many of you have a testimony? Come on. Saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. The Lord has given his son to die that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Would you just go to the Lord in prayer this morning? Lord, we just go to you and we ask right now that you would just pour out your spirit upon your people today. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we see your hand at work in the midst of your church. We thank you, Lord, for all that you continue to do in and through us. Lord, we give you all the honor and the glory, and we ask right now that you would be in this place today. Lord, that you would just be lifted up. That, Lord, that everything we do here would bring honor and glory to you. May we push aside the things that may distract, and may we just today honor you in this place. Lord, we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Would you turn and greet someone this morning, especially the moms? Tell them Happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day, Mom. just want to tell you that we love you. We love you. Hi, Mom. Hi, Mom. There's my mom back there. Love you, Mom. Let's give a hand to all the moms in the house. Amen. Thank you, moms. Thanks, Mom, for being at all of our special events. Thanks, Mom, for taking care of us. Thanks, Mom, for not ratting Dad out and pretending like he was doing something this whole time. We know you were doing all the work. Anyway, we just want to celebrate moms today, and we're so, I'm just glad we have a day we can hang out with moms. Also, let me say this, this is also not the day to go out to eat, but I bet we still do it. How about that? Anybody else going to go out to eat today? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anybody going to need to pray now? Do I need to pray over everybody that nobody has bad thoughts about everybody else's families? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Afterwards, we've got a gift for all of you moms. Pastor and I are going to be at the back doors. We're going to be giving the gifts out to you personally. We want to look you in the eyes and say, Happy Mother's Day. And so you make sure you don't leave until you get a gift from Pastor and myself. And we just want you to know that you're loved and appreciated. And thanks for all in advance for all the laundry and dishes and for putting up with Dad. So thank you for that. Let's give our moms a hand one more time. Amen. 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 If you are a visitor this morning, we want to say, hey, thanks for coming and being a part of Noble Assembly of God. There's a card in the seat back in front of you. And if you would take that card and fill it out and place it in the offering bag that's going to pass in just a little bit, that will help us. It'll give us a record of your attendance. And we'll know that you came and visited with us. We want to say thanks so much for coming to hang out with us on this special Mother's Day. We have lots of announcements in the bulletin. How many got your bulletin? Come on, you got to stay up to date on all of that. And so want to say there's no evening service tonight. We want you to hang out with your loved ones. And plus, if you're going out to eat, you wouldn't make it anyway. So yeah, you felt that. You did. Next Sunday night is our final Connect Group experience, Connect Group number 7. And we're going to have a cookout at the Browns. And Randy and Cheryl Brown are right there. Randy, would you wave your hand? Cheryl, there they are. They are awesome. And they open up their place for us to come and hang out and have a great time of fellowship. The bulletin says 5, but Randy would love for you to be there at 4 because it'll take at least that long for him to tell you the first two stories he's got for you that day. And so come hang out with him at 4 o'clock. They're going to provide, they've graciously going to provide the hamburgers and hot dogs and ribs. And they're asking that each of us bring a side or dessert, okay? The church will get the drinks, and we're going to have a great time of fellowship. And so if you'll make sure and bring a side or a dessert, and there's the address there, and we're going to have a great time next Sunday night. We're having some special moments on Wednesday night, prayer meeting. Pastor and I went to the district council services just the week before and had some tremendous services. And so Pastor started this last Wednesday, and for the next 3, he's going to be showing some of the messages that were shared throughout that 2 days. And they were powerful. Every one of them, you don't want to miss any of them. So make sure you're here adults on Wednesday night to be a part of that. Of course, we have kids and youth activities in the other building on Wednesday nights. Kids and youth camps coming up. If you want them to go, you better come see Pastor Chad or myself. So we can get them in. Senior Sunday, it's just 2 weeks away, but next Sunday afternoon, we are going to have the senior video. So those parents who need, we're going to do the parent interviews. If you have not got a packet or signed up for that, please let me know so that I can get you signed up. Right now, I think we have 5 signed up, but there's some more seniors out there, and we want to honor you, okay? And so please come see me so that we can honor you, and we want to be a blessing to you in that way. Vacation Bible School is coming up along with all kinds of stuff, and so you can read your bulletin about all of that. When he asked the ushers to come as we receive of the tithe and offering this morning. And as they do, I want to say this. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone who donated, helped, encouraged, served, bought stuff, you prayed, we worked for this garage sale. It's our major, major garage sale. And the biggest thing that we really want out of the garage sale is that the Lord just put his hand upon it. Amen? Amen. And it is amazing. I had so many comments from people going, I don't even know where you got all that stuff. And every year we put it in the youth room and then it multiplies. And so it's kind of like the loaves and fish, Pastor, is what it is. So every year we've set a new record. Last year's garage sale, we raised $8,160. That's unbelievable. And so this year we just believe for bigger and greater things. And so I still have some money coming in, but the total for the garage sale as of right this second is $10,026. Yeah. So we broke the 10,000, Miss Donna. Yes, awesome. I have so many. I'm not even gonna start calling names because if I do, I'm gonna miss people who just poured out. But just know this, that it takes a team of people to make this happen, and we appreciate that. Let me also say, on top of that, we're on goal to raise at least $1,000 or more at our drink station too, which means that by the time this weekend's over, we'll have raised $11,000 plus for missions and to the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap one more time for that. And if you took the old barbecue off the corner, there's no judgment. I'm glad you took it. So, we're going to pray over the tithe and offering this morning. Lord, we thank you so much. Once again, you put your hand upon the labor. You put your hand upon all that we did, and you multiplied it. And you do that every week, though, Lord. That isn't a surprise to us. Lord, we give out of obedience and out of cheerfulness, and we give of the tithe, and we give of the offering, and we see you week after week, month after month, year after year, multiply it to do greater things with our resources, which are really yours anyway, than we could ever do on our own. We give you the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
You can stand up with us.
You've been down long enough. You've been walking in shame. 'Cause the way that he loves you isn't something you can change. We've been running in circles, but you can't hide from grace. 'Cause the way that he loves you isn't something you can change. Just like Lazarus out of that grave, our God rewrites history. Jesus, you change everything when you pour your spirit out. Just like Silas singing with Paul, praise can break down prison walls. Jesus, you can have it all. Won't you pour your spirit out? Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out. You can rest in his presence, you can trust in his name, 'cause his burden is easy, and he's perfect in his ways. You can run to the Father, there's no reason to wait. You can trust him, that's not something you can change. Just like Lazarus out of that grave, our God history. Jesus, you change everything when you pour your spirit out. Just like Silas singing with Paul, praise can break down prison walls. Jesus, you can have it all. Won't you pour your spirit out? Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out. Thank you. changed everything. Once you pour your spirit out, just like Silas, sing it with Paul. Praise can break down prison walls. Jesus, you can have it all. Once you pour your spirit out, 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 pour your spirit out. You can have it all, Jesus. We just want you to pour your spirit out upon us, God. We just want you to pour your spirit out upon us, Jesus. Jesus, we praise your name, Jesus. Jesus. That's the one thing that I think as a mom I pray a lot. That God would pour his spirit out on my children. That he would capture their hearts. And that they would serve him. Jesus, we praise you, God. Just let your spirit rest on us, Jesus. Let your spirit capture our hearts, God. Jesus, Jesus.
As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Come down, Spirit, when you're moving, make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me.
Jesus, oh, we worship you, Jesus.
As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us, come rest on us. And fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us, come rest on us. And fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us.
Fill the room. You're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Yeah. Oh, we love you, Jesus.
And Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all we want. fill the room. You're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Jesus, we lift our voices to sing to you this morning, God. We praise you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We thank you so much, God, for all that you do, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your name, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close. Like no other, I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so.
God, come on, give the Lord praise this morning. Hallelujah. 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 All my life, Lord, you've been faithful. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in this service. Lord, we just honor you right now. Can we just lift our hands to the Lord? Lord, we surrender all to you right now. We surrender our hearts to you. We surrender our time and our talents to you, God. Lord, we give our praise to you. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we praise you. We magnify you today. We honor you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Sing it one more time. Oh, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. One more time, I will sing of the goodness of God. Lord, you are so good. And you have such awesome plans for every one of our lives. And Lord, we count it a privilege to be a child of God. We count it a privilege to serve you. We count it a privilege to be in this house of worship today. And Lord, I just thank you for your blessing. Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. Wish a happy Mother's Day to all of our moms, and thank you for all you do for us. As Pastor Phil told us earlier, we just appreciate all of you and just thank God for the opportunity we have to remember and honor moms today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 19. Revelation, chapter 19. I want to read two verses, verse 7 and 8. Revelation 19, 7 and 8. It says, let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's people. The NIV says about verse 7, and his bride has made herself ready. And his bride has made herself ready. Title of the message this morning is Old, New, Borrowed, Blue. How many of you have ever heard that little statement? Yeah, most of you. I just learned that a few months ago. I'm behind the times. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the time now that we can turn to your word. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do the real preaching today. I pray that you would speak through me to every heart. I pray that you would let your will be done in our lives, and that you would just speak to our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The church is the bride of Christ. Amen. The Apostle Paul refers to this in 2 Corinthians 11:2, where he says, "For I am jealous for you with the jealousy of God himself. I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, Christ." One day, Christ will return for his bride at an unknown time and take her to the place that he has prepared for her, a place in the Father's house, just as they have and do in Jewish customs. Don't know the time the groom is going to come and take the bride away, but the groom suddenly comes, takes the bride away, and takes her to the place he's preparing, the Father's house. Well, that's true in Jewish customs and culture. It's also true for the church. We are the bride of Christ, and one day the Father will say, "Son, go get your bride," and we who are ready and are prepared will go to be with him in that place that he has prepared for us. There we will live forever, eternally with the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." I hope you love the Lord today. I hope you are serving him. Amen. As the bride of Christ, we must be ready. And we are ready by trusting Christ to be our Savior, by repenting, and by believing on him, and then living our lives unto him for his praise and for his glory. And we have a responsibility to grow in the Lord once we come to Christ and once we put our faith in him. As believers, the Bible constantly encourages us to grow in the Lord, to walk with the Lord, to talk with the Lord, to put on the Lord and put off the darkness. We have responsibility in our life as a Christian. The Lord doesn't do it all for us. We have a responsibility to grow, or else we will just stay like babes in the faith. There's an old saying often referred to, something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. Brides wear these items, if they choose to adhere to this saying, on their wedding day for good luck and for blessing. And so they'll put something old on, something new, something borrowed, something blue. And that will be the way they conduct themselves on that day for blessing and good luck, and to remember those who have that were an influence in their life, and so on. As believers and members of the bride of Christ, there are some things that we must be prepared as a bride to have, and to make ourselves ready. We want to be ready for when the groom comes. And so in the spirit of that quote, we're going to look at four things today that as a bride of Christ, we want to be a radiant bride. We want to be a bride that is beautifully adorned for her husband for when Christ comes. So we're going to look at something old, something new, something borrowed, and something blue. First of all, something old. Something old. Too many people have the idea that it's always out with the old and in with the new. About everything. Stuff that's old doesn't matter anymore. But how many of you know that's not always true? There's some things that are old. There's some things that are ancient, that we need to be sure we hang on to. Can I remind us today that there are a few old things that we cannot part with to be part of the bride of Christ? Let me give you three. We can't rid ourselves of the old rugged cross. As the song says, we must cling to the cross if we're going to get the crown. Amen. We can't trade in the cross. Without the shedding of Christ's blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sin. There is no hope. We must cling to the cross. Jesus told the disciples then, and he tells us today in Matthew 16:24, If any one of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross and follow me. We must come to the cross if we are going to see the light. We must come to the cross if we are going to spend eternity in heaven. We must cling to the cross if we're going to have any hope at all in this world. We must not forget the old rugged cross. Jesus goes on to say in verse 25, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Amen. We must keep and cling to the cross. Not only must we make sure that as the bride of Christ we have the cross, we must make sure that we cling to some old paths. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16 says, this is what the Lord says, stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. But you reply, no, that's not the road we want. And there's a lot of people in our society, in our culture today are saying, no, I don't want that road. There's a better road out there. Can I tell you, there is not a better road than the way of the Lord, than the way of the cross, than the old path. The paths of self-denial, the paths of sacrifice are not popular in a give me, what's in it for me culture. But they are necessary. The path laid out in God's word may not be popular, but it's the only path that will lead to eternal life. What's that old poem, something about, I took the road less traveled, and it made all the difference. The narrow road is the road less traveled, but in the end, it will make all the difference. Cling to the cross, cling to the paths of sacrifice and the things that may not seem so popular in today's world. Cling to those and you will be all right. The third thing that is non-negotiable is this old book. Cling to this book. Make sure that you've got this book as a part of the bride of Christ. The Bible is still the best-selling book of all time. I looked it up and there's been over 5 billion copies sold of the Bible. Jesus himself said it in Matthew 24:35. He said, heaven and earth will disappear or pass away, but my words will never disappear. Will never pass away. God's word will never pass away. It will stand regardless of what's happening around us, regardless of what culture says. You know, there used to be a time when things that were right were looked at as right, and things that were wrong were looked at as wrong. Today, things that are looked at as right is seemingly wrong, and things that are wrong are suddenly heralded as right. We're living in difficult days. The Bible says it will be that way in the last day. So if we're ever going to be people of the Word of God, we must know the Word of God. The Word of God builds faith. It keeps us on that narrow path. It keeps us looking to the cross. We must be sure that the Word of God is something that we put in our hearts. If we are going to be a part of the bride, we must live by the book. Read it. Live it, hide it, share it, stand on it. Amen? Something old. The Bible, the cross, the old paths. We're also, as the bride of Christ, making ourselves ready. We must make sure we have something new. 4 things come to mind here. Number 1, we must have a new birth. You will never be part of the bride unless you've experienced a new birth or what we call being born again. Remember what Jesus told the Jewish ruler who came to him at night. What was his name? Who? Nicodemus. You can always remember that, Nick at night. Nicodemus. John 3:3, Jesus tells Nicodemus, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And then in verse 7, it says, you must be born again. How many born again folks we got here this morning? Amen. You must be born again if you're going to see the kingdom, if you're going to spend eternity in heaven, if you're going to believe and expect and hope for a wonderful future, you have to be born again. There must come a place in your life where you look and back and say, that's where I was born again. That's where I came to the cross. That's where Jesus transformed my life. Born again. You must have a new birth. Secondly, you must have a new heart. A new heart. A new creation. And when you are born again, that's what you get. You get a new heart and you become a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away and everything has become new. You become a new person. God does spiritual surgery on you. He takes out the hard, stony heart, doubtful heart out of you and gives you a nice, tender heart of flesh. What Ezekiel says. Years ago when I was a children's pastor in Enid, I was trying to drive this point home to some of the elementary students. And so I got this kid from the youth group to come into the children's church area. And he was all mad and he was just upset and he was cussing. And, you know, he didn't really cuss, but he was acting like he was going to cuss. Of course, I didn't want him cussing. But anyway, he was you know, doing everything and that he should not have been, you know, just acting like a real non-Christian person. And I told all the boys and girls, said, man, this guy needs a new heart, doesn't he? And I'd ask him questions. You believe in God? No, I don't believe in God. You going to heaven? No, I want to go to H-E-double-L. You know, just saying stuff like that. I said, man, boys and girls, he needs a new heart. Yeah, he does, Pastor Steve. Yeah, he does. I said, sir, can we give you a new heart? You need to ask Jesus into your heart, help him to give you a new heart. Well, what do I need to do that for? So I led him in the sinner's prayer and all. And then I put him on the operating table, which was a 6-foot table in the front of the children's church. I put on my operation garb. I put on the mask. I put on the gloves. I put on the shoes, everything that a surgeon would wear. I took out my scalpel, which was a giant saw. I pretended I'm sawing on him and sawing his breastbone open. I take out some big pliers. Anyway, I'm going on like I'm a surgeon. And then I pull out this. And I had a brick made that I cut it in the shape of a heart. I said, boys and girls, look at this guy's heart. Tapped on it. It is so hard. And no wonder he acts that way. No wonder he doesn't care about God. Look how hard this heart is. They go, oh, man, that's really hard. Well, then I went to the place where they butcher meat, and I got a cow's heart from them, a real one. I had it in a little ice chest. I said, look what we're going to put in this guy. And I showed him this cow's heart, and I pushed on it, and it was all, I said, look how soft it is. And they're all going, ew. But anyway, we took him up there, and then I pulled out a big old crochet needle with yarn. You know, you have to make it big. Little stuff won't work with kids. I said, all right, we're going to put this heart in there. So we sewed him up, you know. I said, all right, he's going to wake up here in a minute. Oh, I forgot to tell you the way I put him asleep. I hit him with a rubber mallet. Bink. And that was this anesthetic. I said, well, wait just a minute. He's going to wake up. And so the boys and girls just watching. And pretty soon, it was one of there were two twins in our church. They were youth, Ron and Don Brown. It was one of the twins. I don't know which one. But anyway, let's just say it's Ron. Ron jumped up and, praise the Lord. Oh, I just love Jesus. I just can't wait to be here in church with you boys and girls. And all the kids are clapping, cheering, yay, yay, yay. I said, he's got a new heart, doesn't he? Jesus gave him a new heart. He took out that old hard heart. He's got a nice, soft heart. And I don't suppose there's anybody that's in their 40s or 50s that was in that youth group now that hasn't that don't remember that. So that tells you how old I am. But God does that. He does spiritual surgery. And examples abound in Scripture of people whose hearts was changed. Saul, the persecutor, became Paul, the apostle. The woman at the well went from being all messed up in sin to being the first real evangelist in the New Testament, won her whole town to the Lord. I think of Matthew, the tax collector, who was used to cheating people and doing what he shouldn't be doing, became a disciple and was willing to give all he had to the Lord over and over and over. And in current life and in history, you know, people whose lives have changed because the Lord did surgery on them. So thank the Lord for a new heart. Not only do we need a new birth and a new heart, thirdly, we need new wine. Amen. That is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the new wine. John 7, 37 through 39 says this. On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart." Rivers of living water will flow from his heart. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. The new wine enables us to live more victoriously, to serve more effectively, to pray more fervently. Church, believers, we need the new wine. We need the Holy Spirit to be all that we can be for the Lord. God did not intend for believers to function without unction. I've preached on this before. The unction being the power of the Spirit. If we try to function without unction, all you get is an F. Think about it. Function without the word unction, you get an F. When I was in school, an F wasn't a very good grade, was it? It meant failing. Could our lack of success in reaching our community and what God wants to do in our world be because the bride of Christ has not done very well making herself ready in the power of the new wine and the power of the Spirit? Could that be part of the problem? We've settled for less than what God wants. Let's function with unction, amen? Let's function in the power of the Holy Spirit. Like we heard Wednesday night, our superintendent talking about digging wells. We need to reopen the wells of salvation, the wells of the Spirit. We need the power of the Spirit. Is anybody here today? Everybody's just looking at me. I don't see very many amens. Amen. Everybody smile at me. Okay. Who's with me? Say amen. Amen. I didn't say raise your hand. I just said say amen. You're really with me because you're not only here and you're watching. All right. Amen. New birth. New heart. Not Bob, just a new heart. New wine. A new forever home. A new forever home. When you belong to Jesus, your forever home is being prepared for you. I got a forever home being prepared in heaven right now, and so do you. In the Father's house. Jesus said in John 14, verses 1 through 6, "In my Father's house," well, let me get it started right. "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And I'm quoting the King James. Let me see. "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to the place where I am going." "No, we don't know, Lord," Thomas said. "We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." We have a forever home with the Lord. The bride has made herself ready with something old actually about three things, and there could be others along these. I just picked out some. Was something new? We named four things there. And thirdly, something borrowed. Something borrowed. You know, as I have preached year after year in January, usually, that God owns everything. God's the owner, and we're the... Thank y'all for listening. We're the managers. We're the stewards. Remember our stewardship series. Every January I talk about that. God's the owner. We're the manager. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. So everything we have, even our very own lives, are borrowed or managed by us. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, you do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. Parents, our children don't belong to us. Some of you are thinking, hallelujah. All right. No, you're not thinking that. But in reality, your children are not yours. They're the Lord. They're just loaned to you for a while. They're just loaned to you for God, by God, for you to prepare and for you to train up and raise up to serve him. Our children are on loan from the Lord. All you have in the way of money and possessions is not yours. It's God's. All your talents, all your gifts is all on loan to you by God, for to use for his honor and for his glory while you're here. All the days of your life, however long they may be, are on loan to you from God, and he intends for you to steward them for his glory. It's all borrowed. Psalm 139:16 says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. That's why abortion is wrong, right there. You could base it just on that one verse, and there's many others. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. God has plans for the gifts and the talents that he's put in our hand. Who I am and what I can do is God's gift to me. How I use it is my gift back to God. And yes, we will be rewarded for our service. We will be rewarded for our sacrifice that is made for his glory. I don't know about you, but one day I want to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You want to hear the Lord say that? Well done. Good job. If we're going to hear him say that, we must prepare ourselves, use our talents and gifts and everything that he's loaned to us and these things that are borrowed for his glory. Last of all, not only something old, something new, something borrowed, the bride must also make herself ready with something blue. And what do we mean by that? Have you ever heard the term true blue? I'm not just talking about the Noble High School band. That's the true blue band. They call themselves that. Something that is true blue, or some person is true blue. That is someone that is a person of great character. They are true blue. They are honest. They are upright. They are faithful. They are loyal. You might say they are noble. And noble means having or showing fine personal qualities or high moral principles and deeds of excellent or superior quality. That's what noble means. That's what a Christian should strive for. We should have these qualities of being true blue, loyal, dependable, sincere, kind, all of these things that are Christ-like character. Galatians 5, verses 22 through 25 actually describe these things. They call them the fruits of the Spirit. It says, But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Amen. Christ-like character. Also, something new or something blue came to me in Sunday school this morning. We were talking about where we're reading in Ezekiel's vision. And he had a vision of the throne of God. And it said that his throne was blue like, what was the word? Lapis lazuli. That's a really pretty blue. And so I started thinking, you know what? Something blue is also our access as Christians we have to the throne of God. Prayer. Hallelujah. If we are going to be a part of the bride of Christ, we must be people of prayer who come to that throne. I'm glad we have that privilege. As Hebrews 4:16 says, let us come with boldness to the throne that we might find grace to help us in our time of need. I'm glad there's a throne I can come to in my time of need, that a name I can call on. Amen. Amen. Something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. In conclusion, there's another line to that old poem. Does anybody know the last line of that little poem? I didn't either. I'd never heard it. Like I told you, it's only been a few months ago I heard about something old, new, blue, and borrowed. Debbie, what is it? That's right. It's the last line says, and a sixpence in her shoe. I'd never heard that for sure till I looked it up this week. And a sixpence in her shoe. A sixpence then back was about a penny. It's a little more than that now. But a penny. You ever heard of a person putting a penny in their shoe? They do that for good luck. They do that for blessing, for favor, that everything's going to grow great with this wedding they're going to have. Well, as believers, we don't believe in luck. We believe in God's providence. We believe that the steps of the righteous are what? Ordered of the Lord. But I was thinking about that. As Christians, I said, we don't believe in luck. We believe in God's providence. But God wants us to walk in his steps, follow in his steps. And God wants to be allowed to order our steps. And in our shoes must be the desire to spread the gospel, to share the good news. Part of our spiritual armor, as talked about in Ephesians 6, is that we have the shoes of peace, gospel shoes. As the bride of Christ, we need to be wearing gospel shoes, heavenly Nikes or something. Nike, by the way, means victory. We need to be wearing gospel shoes. We need to be letting people know about the Lord that we serve. Shoes to win the lost. Revelation 22:17 says this: the Spirit and the bride. Everybody say bride. The Spirit and the bride say come. Let anyone who hears this say come. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires to drink freely from the water of life. We are to be letting people know that there is a fountain that they can drink from, that there is living water, that there is peace, that there is the gospel, there is good news out there. And as believers, we walk with gospel shoes on. A part of the bride of Christ is being a soul winner, letting our light shine. So as the bride of Christ, let's make sure that we are ready with something old. The old rugged cross. The old paths. Something new. New birth. New heart. new place in heaven, new wine, something borrowed, all of our talents, money, stuff, our very own lives, our children, all things that we have that are owned by the Lord that we use for His glory. And then lastly, by looking for opportunities to share Christ wherever our gospel shoes take us. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, Lord, for this message. Lord, I just pray that as the bride of Christ, that we would make ourselves ready by walking and talking and depending upon you. Lord, in ourselves, we cannot even do that. But by the Holy Spirit within us, Father God, we can be a bride beautifully adorned for her husband. Thank you, Lord, for the old past and the old rugged cross. And thank you for the new and the things you've loaned to us. And thank you, Father God, for the opportunity to pray and the opportunity to bear spiritual fruit. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be a witness for you. And Lord, empower us to do that every single day that we walk this earth. Because, Lord, we want to make ourselves ready as the bride of Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, is there anyone here today? You'd say, Pastor Steve, I'm lost. I don't even know where I'm spending eternity. I don't know Christ as Savior, but I would like to know more about that today. Would you lift your hands? Just pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me. Anybody. Maybe you're watching online today. I don't know where you're at spiritually, but the Lord does, and He loves you. Maybe you're here today. You need kind of realigned. You need a fresh commitment to the Lord. You've kind of allowed other things to crowd the Lord's place in your life out. If that's you today, today can be a day that you make a new commitment, a fresh commitment, and say, Father God, I want to be a bride that's made ready. Lord, I want to be ready when you come back. I want to be doing these things that pastors talked about today, experiencing these things in a fresh and a new way. Maybe you're here today and you need healing. Maybe you need prayer for a healing in you or your family. In a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to come forward. If you'd like prayer, the ladies are going to sing a song, and then we'll be down here to pray with you. If you need healing or if you need prayer for anything, if you want to recommit your heart to the Lord, and these altars, of course, will be open. They're always open. Don't feel like that if you come to the altar, everybody's going to think, well, what's wrong with them? You know, we have too much of that. These altars are open anytime for any reason, and you don't have to talk to anybody but God. Amen. I was glad in the church that I grew up in all my life, there was always the altars open. Sometimes I just wanted to go to the altar. I didn't really specifically have something that was just pressing in on me. I just wanted to get to the altar and talk to my Savior. So, Lord, I just thank you, God, that in a moment, as the team begins to sing, Lord, we will have a time of prayer around these altars on this Mother's Day. And I pray, Father God, that lives are changed. I pray that we see miracles happen, healings. I pray that there are people that make a new commitment to you. I pray, Father God, that lives are changed and restored. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our hearts.
just come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We sing, come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. Jesus, we worship you, Jesus. I still believe you're moving. I still believe you're speaking. I still believe you're working all things for good. We fix our eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe you're working all things for good. I still believe you're moving. I still believe you're speaking. God, I believe you're working. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We sing, come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. God, I believe you're moving. God, I believe you're speaking. God, I believe you're working all things for good. I fix my eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe you're working all things for good. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. I'm alive in the name of Jesus. Oh, we believe in you, Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We praise your name.
Sing it with me. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Sing it again one more time. God is so so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Won't raise it up a key and one more time. Oh, God is so good. God is so sorry. God answers prayer. Yes, he does. Thank you, Lord. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. He's so good to me. Hallelujah. He loves us. He's good. He answers prayer. We never go wrong with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. It's Mother's Day today, so I'm going to have a mother dismiss us in prayer. Robin, would you do that?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful service that we've had today. And Lord, we just pray a special blessing on all the mothers that are represented here. And Lord, we just pray that we honor our mothers and we honor you in everything we do, Lord. And we praise you for this day. Amen.